So I'm here on the floor of Black Hat. If you haven't made it to Black Hat, well, you're missing out, but I got to share with it a little with you right now, so stick around. Hello and welcome to another episode of CISO Tradecraft, the podcast that provides you with the information, knowledge, and wisdom to be a more effective cybersecurity leader. My name is G. Mark Hardy. I'm your host for today, and I have Danny Jenkins, who is the CEO, founder of ThreatLocker. Thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your crazy schedule.
Thank you for introducing me today.
Well, one of the interesting things I found out about ThreatLocker is, and oh, by the way, this is not a paid pitch or anything like that, is that you guys are, well, first of all, it's like everywhere. You walk right in the door here, and you got this big, huge place. But also you got a major event in Orlando, which I went to earlier this year. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's a vendor event. Who's going to want to go to a vendor event? And there's tons of people there. They've been going for years. I think it's awesome. And plus, you've got a technical background, and yet you're the CEO, and you're actually on the floor talking to people. And this breaks all kinds of models. So I just want to learn a little bit more about you and how you got here and what's going on in your mind.
Yeah, so I mean, my background is very technical. And when we started ThreatLocker, we really started it with the idea of changing the world. Like, we wanted to change the way people think about endpoint security. And the only way we can change something is if we understand where it's wrong. Mm-hmm. So I spend tremendous amount of time on the floor at these events. I spend time with customers in the bar in the evening. Actually, we have a policy in ThreatLocker. Whenever C-suite travels to a city, we set up what we call a control of the light. We invite any customers in the city to meet the C-suite. And we do some education sessions, and we learn from them as much as they learn from us about what's wrong with us and what's wrong with our product and how do we make it better and what's hard in your life. And that's how we make our product better. That's how we've delivered the impossible, is just by speaking to people. And it's not the successes we want to hear, it's the failures.
Right, because you learn from failure, but not from success. You get complacent if you're nothing but success.
Well, if you go and hang yourself around with people who just tell you how great you are, then it doesn't help you. It doesn't benefit your product. If you learn from customers, and we've got a lot of customers, I mean, we've got 54,000 companies worldwide that use us. And I'm here, I'm meeting with customers, I'm meeting with prospects who have looked at our product and say, well, I'm struggling with this problem and it only solves this problem. And that's a lot of feedback. We go back and we develop and we build and we change our systems, we change our processes, and we make ThreatLocker better. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the floor. And sometimes my wife's not overly happy when there's alcohol and you get some strange people, but it's a lot of learning. And it's not just me, it's the whole C-suite in ThreatLocker. Our chief product officer is at Gartner in Brazil now doing the same thing.
So really it's almost a culture that you've created here at ThreatLocker to be more customer focused and outreaching and then listening, if you will. I know that I have frustration sometimes with products that I use, and you want to call, you just can't get to the right people. And maybe somehow you get to a developer somewhere and they're not empowered to fix it. We talk to marketing, they're not going to care. You're talking to sales, they just want more money. The help desk, perhaps, but it's all writing up a ticket and going on. But this is like a direct to the top.
Yeah, and actually, even inside ThreatLocker, the culture exists. So we have a town hall every week where any member of staff can come and request 5 minutes to speak to me and our COO. And tell us why they think something's bad, why they think something. And a lot of it comes around to product. Like, my customer's trying to do this, this is how hard it is, look. Or some of it comes down to process in ThreatLocker. But also, right down to the support level. I mean, we have 24-hour support that responds in less than 60 seconds, 365 days a year. But they have a requirement to escalate any issue until it gets to the CTO, CPO, or CEO. And my phone never gets turned off. And I say, you got a customer on the phone. I don't care if they're 100 endpoints or they're 100,000 endpoints of the problem. You got a customer on the phone and you can't solve their issue. You don't understand their issue. It's one of three things. There's a bug. And if it's a replicatable bug on our system,
right, we can fix it.
We can fix it. And they can go straight to dev and they'll fix it really quick. Or it's a configuration, or you just don't know what it is. In which case, keep calling someone until you know. And that's kind of been our philosophy in ThreatLocker from the beginning. It's like, my phone never gets turned off. Our COO's phone never gets turned off. Our chief product's phone never gets turned off. And it's like, you will call and I think we built a better product for that.
I think you do. Now, you started out technical, I think probably like all of us back as a teenager were writing code and hacking stuff and things like that. And yet you ended up in this direction. Where do you think the inflection point was in your life that said, hey, you know, I want to do good things. I want to go build and fix the world's problems instead of, yeah, let me just go ahead there and mess around with things.
I think it was always there. I mean, I left school when I was 15. I didn't graduate high school. So I left school in the UK. I got an apprenticeship in IT. So I just wanted to build things. I wanted to help. And I was working, it was, I'd call it an MSP, but it was the 90s. So you didn't really have MSPs, and we're helping customers. And I always wanted to help more. And I created two businesses before ThreatLocker, none of which were a failure, but they weren't successes by any means. And ThreatLocker was different because I'd actually, it almost gone the other way. I decided I don't want to do this. I don't, you know, anyone who creates a business is insane. Like they're certifiable. And I really didn't want to do this, but there was just a problem that wasn't getting solved by the industry. And that's really where we came in. And I still consider myself a very technical CEO. I still write code, be it a small amount. But if there's an issue that's taking too long to get fixed, I will open my laptop and I will look at the code and say, there's your problem. Let's get it solved. Let's get the build out immediately. I still get involved with customer calls. I still get involved in server builds and things like that. But obviously, I also have a team of 700 people that are working around me. And I think I like to be technical. I consider myself a nerd. I don't think too much about the business stuff. I just think if you focus 100% on the customers, you focus 100% on the product, the business stuff takes care of itself.
That's a very good insight because I know, for example, I fly Southwest a lot, and Southwest is going through some significant changes. They got acquired by, or not acquired, but Elliott Investment Group has a big share, and they're basically breaking the old model that Herb Kelleher had built years earlier. And Herb basically said, forget about your investors, forget about your customers, take care of your employees, and they will delight your customers, who will delight your investors. And so from that perspective, you're kind of a modern day Herb Kelleher, focusing on creating a culture for your people, focusing on what you're doing, instead of just saying, hey, how do we squeeze a little bit more profit out in this next quarter?
And I think part of that is, I mean, we expect horrendous amounts of effort from our employees. We have something we say. So me and our COO, who's my wife, meet every employee when they start. And we add 40 or 50 people a month, and we'll go down, we'll meet them, we'll talk to them, we'll let them ask questions. But we say things, this is going to be the hardest job you ever have, but it'll also be one of the most satisfying jobs, because we are changing the world, and I expect a lot from you. But equally, I will be there doing a lot. So when we're up until 2 o'clock in the morning here in Vegas with customers, and the employees are burnt out, I'm there with the customers.
Right.
When I have to get up at 5 a.m. to do, I'm going to get up too with you. When the servers are down and there's an infrastructure problem, I will sit there with you, and even if I'm not capable, because I mean, when I built the data centers in ThreatLocker, we had 10 servers. Now we've probably got 2,000 servers. But I will make sure that I am working with everything. I'm helping you. And I think the CTO does that. The chief product officer does that. The COO does that. I think when you do that and it flows down, people say, well, it's willing to happen. I remember having a conversation. We had a marketing person start, and we were packing up boxes to send to customers. And there was Yetis in and a baseball cap. And we had a marketing lead who's no longer a lead. And she said, on Friday night, we were sitting there on the floor till like 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And we're a little bit smaller. And she said to me, you know, I don't think it's good time for the CEO of a $1 billion company to pack boxes. And I said, but I'm not packing boxes. And she couldn't understand this. She said, well, you are packing boxes. I said, no, I'm sitting there with 30 staff members watching me pack boxes, knowing that I'm willing to sit on the floor.
You're leading by example.
And she couldn't understand that, which is why she's no longer in the company.
Yeah.
Because she thought that it's use of my time. My time is best suited at making sure everyone else delivers the same value as we do.
And that's important. So as they look at, for our audience, a lot of chief information security officers, VPs, directors, people who want to get into that position, I think you set a real good example about here's how you go ahead and inspire your people, lead from the front, actually roll up your sleeves and do it. It doesn't mean you're going to be doing 8 hours a day, but it shows that nothing is beneath you, if you will, because if you're asking somebody else to devote their time and energy to a task, showing them that, hey, this is important enough for me to do some of that task as well.
And then your team will rally behind you, and then they care. Sometimes, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we hire people that don't care.
It's going to happen, but in general, you build the culture, and it tends to attract and retain.
The retention is the good people. The people that don't care, just they don't last.
Well, I know that you've got a tremendous amount on your plate. You've got to be running around all over the place. You've got a meeting coming up in 10 minutes. I'm supposed to be over at Jen Easterly's in 10 minutes. Any last thoughts you might want to put in terms of just leadership insights, ideas, or et cetera, for people to perhaps even emulate some of the behaviors you have, which have really resulted in a lot of success, not just for your company, but for your people and for your customers.
No, I think the most important, you know, this is another thing we say to everyone that starts. Your job is to contribute value to the company. And so if you're in sales, your job is to close deals and get customers. If you're a support person, your job is to help customers with their problems. If you're a developer, your job is to write code. My job and any leader in between me and them's job is to move every obstacle out your way so you can do that. And that's it's our job is to help you. And we have this car vote thing where everyone votes for the most helpful person in the company every month. And we give them a car at the end of the year, the most helpful person. So people vote for their coworkers. You're not allowed to vote for your manager because your manager's job to help you anyway.
Anyway, right. Just doing what they're paid for.
Yeah. So I think that's the best thing. If you help your team move every obstacle out your way, and sometimes it's just getting a different department to do something, they will respect you more and you'll be far more successful. And as a leader, as a CISO, and a CISO sometimes is a little bit of a job that is a temporary job to be the blamed person when something goes wrong.
Keep scapegoat off.
Yeah. So when your team is 100% behind you, that's a move that can't be made because at some point you're getting breached.
Yeah. And you got to be able to make sure that these people will follow you and they'll be there at 2 in the morning because you're going to be there at 2 in the morning as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to cut it short just because I value your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yanni Jenkins, to our audience here, thank you for being a little part of our quick foray here in the Black Hat. If you're here, stop by, say hello. If not, then good luck to you and have a good time out there wherever you are. But until next time, this is your host, G. Mark Hardy. Stay safe out there.
Thank you.